The Infiniti QX50 knows you better than anyone, even your mother. How do we know that? Does your mother know what temperature to set your cabin to or remember your exact seat position? Does your mother come with an app that syncs your phone to your vehicle? Does she know that you prefer to choose your own drive modes? Well, does she? The Infiniti QX50 knows, and now you do too. The Infiniti QX50 crossover.
Visit Infiniti of Baton Rouge in-store or online at infinitybr.com today.
Everyone deserves to feel connected. That's why Cox has high-speed internet to fit any budget. For real. Learn more at cox.com/ACP. Non-transferable, one per household. Application and eligibility decisions are made by the FCC. Other restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. This is the program that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the National Football League. Coming up on this edition of the program, we have an interview with Andrew Pasquini. Andrew is the co-host of the Sprint Right Option podcast. The podcast is dedicated to highlighting San Francisco 49ers content. He is also a writer for the website Niners Nation. The website is ran by SB Nation as it provides 49ers news. On the program, we recap the 49ers game against the Arizona Cardinals in Mexico City. Also, we talk about quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, 49ers offense, defense, and we also talk about the San Francisco's next game against the New Orleans Saints that's coming up for Week 12. And plus, we have a preview of Week 12 and Week 12's game picks. So it's going to be a great show on this edition of the League Wraparound. Of course, great interview we got coming up on this edition of the program with my main man, Andrew Pasquini. And once again, on behalf of my family to yours, I'd like to wish all of you a very happy and safe Thanksgiving. Hope you had a safe and a happy Thanksgiving. Hope you ate a lot, watched some great football, and there were some great games on the Thanksgiving Day schedule. And let's give you those scores from the Thanksgiving Day games in the NFL. Let's start off with the game in the Motor City, Detroit. The Buffalo Bills squared off against the Detroit Lions. Buffalo got what they needed, big plays from Josh Allen to wide receiver Stephon Diggs, and they got in field goal range. Bills kicker Tyler Bass kicked the game-winning field goal, giving Buffalo a 28-25 victory over Detroit. The next game that we had was an NFC East rivalry game between the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants. New York started off strong, but Dallas took over the game, and they never looked back. Big plays by Dak Prescott. The running game was exciting with the combination of Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, and of course, C.D. Lamb shined bright, as well as the Dallas tight ends as well. And Dallas's defense, Michael Parsons, what can you say about him? He shined bright as well. The Cowboys would go on to beat the Giants 28-20. And the nightcap, the New England Patriots going up against the Minnesota Vikings, a very good game in Minneapolis. But Kirk Cousins, Adam Thielen, and of course, some could say the best wide receiver in the league right now, Jordan Jefferson. All three of those guys shine bright in Minneapolis as the Vikings would go on to beat the Patriots 33-26. And those were your scores from the Thanksgiving games in the NFL for Week 12. I want to get now to my top three storylines. My first storyline is going to be the Dallas Cowboys. So Dallas beating the Giants on Thanksgiving, getting a starting to get on a roll right now, and everything seems to be in favor for Dallas as for the remaining part of their schedule. They embarrassed Minnesota in Week 11, beat them 40-3, and then Week 12, the Thanksgiving game against the Giants, their rival, 28-20. The remaining part of their schedule is winnable for the Cowboys. Indianapolis, Houston, and then at Jacksonville. The last three games of the schedule are going to be some tough ones for them. Philadelphia, Tennessee, and then Washington. But right now, Dallas is on a roll right now. Dak is starting to get back to his old self. Quarterback Dak Prescott is getting back to himself. Ezekiel Elliott is starting to look like shades of the old Zeke. And Tony Pollard has just been a runaway this year. CeeDee Lamb is starting to come into his own. I think the game against the Giants was his breakout game. I mean, if you missed that game, he was phenomenal. The tight ends are playing well for Dallas right now, including Dalton Schultz. And what can you say about Dallas's defense? Micah Parsons is shaping up to be a once-in-a-lifetime talent. Dorrance Armstrong's been playing well lately. Of course, DeMarcus Lawrence has played well. Then you've got Trayvon Diggs, who is playing well. Right now, I can see Dallas going on a run right now. So far, they've won two in a row. The next three games, Indianapolis, Houston, and at Jacksonville, are going to be winnable games. The game on Christmas Eve against Philadelphia is going to be an interesting one. But in the meantime, the next three games for Dallas are going to be winnable. My next storyline is going to be the Buffalo Bills. So after losing a close one over the Minnesota Vikings just two weeks ago, after bouncing back from the Vikings loss, having to play a home game in Detroit after the brutal winter snowstorm in western New York, playing the home game against Cleveland at Ford Field, and then staying in Detroit to beat the Lions in a very close Thanksgiving game, it seems to me that Buffalo is starting to get back on a roll right now. Now, the only setback that they had was that Von Miller suffered a knee injury in the Thanksgiving game against the Lions. The good news is that he's going to have surgery and it's not going to be season ending. Now, looking at the remaining schedule for the Bills, they're at New England, which is a Thursday night game. They have the Jets, and then against Miami, and then at Chicago, which is a winnable game. And then you have a Monday night at Cincinnati. That's going to be a tough one. And then you end the year with a home game against New England. So it's still kind of winnable for Buffalo. The Jets game and the Bears game will be winnable games. Cincinnati's going to be a tough one. New England can go either way. Miami can go either way. But hopefully Buffalo would have to depend on Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs. They're going to have to depend on their offense to get them some points, because Von Miller's going to be out for a while. They won't have him back until the playoffs. So it's going to be an interesting run, rest of the run for the Buffalo Bills, not having their top guy on defense, which puts pressure on their offense. And for my last storyline is going to be the Minnesota Vikings. Wow, what a difference 4 days makes after being embarrassed by the Dallas Cowboys, losing to them 40-3. They bounce back in a major way, beating the New England Patriots on Thanksgiving night. According to his record, he's still not a for-ready primetime player, but he played a great game against New England, helping the Vikings beat the Patriots on Thanksgiving night. Adam Thielen, a tried-and-true KG veteran, played a great game. Defense made stops when they needed to, but what about wide receiver Justin Jefferson? Justin Jefferson is just one of those once-in-a-lifetime talents. That gentleman has been making plays since he's been in the league. He made plays when he was in college at LSU, was a part of the national championship team alongside Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So we know about the pedigree that Justin Jefferson had at LSU, and certainly he's bringing that pedigree to the National Football League and making plays and doing so many things in such a short amount of time. And as far as the remaining schedule for the Vikings is concerned, it's winnable. The Jets, Lions, Colts, the next three games are winnable. Now, they could run into some trouble against the New York Giants on Eve, and then there's a big game on New Year's Day at Lambeau Field against the Packers. So Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay, we know how that goes. And then they end the year at Chicago in Soldier Field, which will be a winnable game. Everything is right now in Minnesota's favor right now. If they can just continue to play solid defense, get Dalvin Cook involved, both running and receiving the ball, that opens up the passing game for Kirk Cousins to make plays to Adam Thielen. And, of course, Mr. Dynamo himself, Justin Jefferson. But watch out for the Vikings, because they're definitely making a run. All right, that takes care of segment one. When we come back from the break, have an interview with Andrew Pasquini. He is the co-host of the Sprint Right Option podcast. The podcast is dedicated to highlighting San Francisco 49ers content. He is also a writer for the website Niners Nation. The website is ran by SB Nation as it provides 49ers news. We recap the 49ers game against the Arizona Cardinals in Mexico City. Also, we talk about Jimmy Garoppolo. Also, we preview San Francisco's next game against the New Orleans Saints and much more. Andrew is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to The League Wraparound.
Everyone deserves to feel connected. That's why Cox has high-speed internet to fit any budget. For real. Learn more at cox.com/ACP. Non-transferable, one per household. Application and eligibility decisions are made by the FCC. Other restrictions apply.
At Family Dollar, you'll find even more ways to save, like our digital smart coupons, including the Saturday Savings Pass. Explore our app and find additional discounts to stack savings on top of savings. Family Dollar, helping you do more. At Family Dollar, we know you want more to enjoy your summer. That's why you'll find more in every store, like our assortment of ice cream and frozen treats to delight your family. Family Dollar, helping you do more.
Everyone deserves to be connected. That's why Cox offers a range of high-speed internet plans that fit any budget. Stream, chat, and stay connected at an incredible price. It's fast, reliable internet for everyone. You're probably thinking, wait, what? But yeah, it's true. Learn more at cox.com/ACP. Non-transferable, one per household. Application and eligibility decisions are made by the FCC. Other restrictions apply.
Everyone deserves to feel connected. That's why Cox has high-speed internet to fit any budget. For real. Learn more at cox.com/ACP. Non-transferable, one per household. Application and eligibility decisions are made by the FCC. Other restrictions apply.
With almost everything in life, you have choices. You can pick a lot, a little, or somewhere in the middle. And if you shake your phone now, you can learn more about an internet plan that's clever. One that allows you to add TV tomorrow and home automation whenever. That's right. Shake your phone to learn more about flexible internet plans from Cox, giving you all the services you desire and nothing you don't require. Additional services can be added at then current regular rates. All services subject to residential customer service agreement and acceptable use policy found at cox.com/policies. Restrictions apply.
Everyone deserves to feel connected. That's why Cox has high-speed internet to fit any budget. For real. Learn more at cox.com/ACP. Non-transferable, one per household. Application and eligibility decisions are made by the FCC. Other restrictions apply.
It said we make 35,000 decisions a day. No wonder they don't all come out just right. Like when you pre-ordered those fresh sneakers that dropped right when you repaid your friend for lunch. It happens. But overdrafts don't have to. Get extra time to cover your overdraft with Citizens Peace of Mind, so you can relax in those sweet kicks and focus on your next 34,999 decisions. Learn more about how to reverse your overdraft fees at citizensbank.com/peace of mind. Citizens, made ready. Member FDIC.
It's an old-fashioned Griswold family Christmas at Raising Cane's.
There it is.
Celebrate an enduring tradition with kith and kin and hand-battered cooked-to-order chicken fingers and cane sauce.
It's good. It's good.
And introducing...
Drumroll, please.
Plush puppies that benefit local pet organizations and the gift cards that keep on giving the whole year.
Hey.
Hap, hap, happy Christmas from Raising Cane's and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. One love. If this tastes half as good as it looks, you're in for a real treat. It's an old-fashioned Griswold family Christmas at Raising Cane's.
There it is.
Celebrate with chicken fingers and cane sauce, crispy crinkle-cut fries, and garlicky buttered Texas toast. Hap, hap, happy Christmas from Raising Cane's and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. One love.
Not a millionaire, darling, to retire at St. James Place. You don't have to be. Take a look at St. James Place. It just might be more affordable than you think. Learn more at stjamesplaceinfo.org.
Third down and five. Garoppolo pulls it down. End zone. What a throw and catch. Touchdown, IU. Third down and three. Garoppolo will float it. He's got Kittle. And Kittle is gone for the touchdown. Been so good for so long. In his 18th year from Penn State. Samuel gets it. Trent Williams out in front of him. Ayuk blocking. Deebo. End zone touchdown, what a play. No flag. Another one for San Francisco. Blitz off the edge. Ayuk has got his second. Touchdown, 49ers. On both sides of the ball, that stands out. Here's Kittle. George Kittle. Touchdown, 49ers.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the National Football League, ESPN, and the Walt Disney Company. That was Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on the call of the Monday Night Football game from November the 21st, 2022, from Week 11 between the San Francisco 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals. Of course, that game was the final installment of the NFL International Series in Mexico City, where the 49ers, they traveled deep, and boy, did they show up in Mexico City as the 49ers handled their business 38-10 over their NFC West rival, Arizona Cardinals. To talk more about this game and the 49ers' next opponent against the New Orleans Saints, we want to welcome him back to the program. The gentleman is doing his thing as the co-host of the Sprint Right Option podcast with Jason Aponte, and he loves his 49ers. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome him back to the program, Andrew Pasquini. Hey, Andrew, welcome back, my man.
Hey, Ed, thank you very much. It's always fun talking to you, 49ers football. Hope you had a fantastic Thanksgiving. Got to watch plenty of football. Hope you had a good day, buddy.
Oh, I did have a great Thanksgiving holiday. Thank you so much, man. I hope you had a great one as well, man. I've had a lot of turkey and some macaroni and some dressing and cranberry sauce, my man. And thank you so much. And thank you once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So, Andrew, what were your takeaways from the 49ers' victory in Mexico City over the Cardinals?
I mean, what wasn't there to take away? It was really the Niners' best performance of the season, going down to Mexico City, and what actually might have been their 11th home game of the season. The Niners only on the schedule for 9 home games. They get that one against the Rams a couple weeks ago in Los Angeles with a lot of Niner fans. They go down to Mexico City in a stadium that's about 85% full of 49er fans as well. Really just a complete performance from the 49ers, and it all starts with Jimmy Garoppolo and his performance. 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, really, really key there, but also the really balanced from all the weapons of the 49ers as well. Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Elijah Mitchell, we're going to talk about them all. All were responsible for some sort of big play the Niners had, and the Niners' defense is just humming. It was really the most complete victory for the 49ers this season, and the score obviously showed it. It was their most one-sided victory and the most points they scored in a game this season. It was really a complete victory for the Niners.
Yeah, it definitely was a complete victory, Andrew, just watching that game from start to finish. This was the game, I think this is the breakout game for the 49ers, as you said, where everything came together. I want to start off on in the running department for a moment. Elijah Mitchell, 9 carries, 59 yards. Again, Elijah, not a 100-yard-plus running game for him, but he did the job where it was needed for him. Give me your thoughts on Elijah's play against the Cardinals.
Well, the first bit of his play, to me, the first word that comes to mind is surprising. He was the Niners' lead back in Week 1, obviously. He gets injured against the Bears. He misses 9 weeks. Okay, so he's hurt, he's out with this injury, and from the time he previously played to when he returned against the Chargers, the Niners acquired Christian McCaffrey. The question was what Mitchell's role in the offense was, if they were going to split the carries, if Christian McCaffrey was just going to be the main back with Elijah Mitchell giving him an occasional rest. No, it just ends up Elijah Mitchell, the Niners' number one running back still. He's had the most amount of carries in the 2 games since he's returned. He led with 18 carries against the Chargers in Week 10, and then last week he had 9 carries, most on the Niners. But what's most impressive about it is Elijah Mitchell didn't play his first snap on Monday night until the 2:13 mark in the second quarter. So he wasn't in the game until halfway through. He still led the 49ers in carries and rushing yards, 9 carries for 59 yards. And I thought he was very important in the most important five-play stretch for the 49ers because he came into the game. He got his first carry, as I mentioned, at the end of the first half. He didn't see another play until later in the Niners' first drive after the kickoff, up 17-10. Elijah Mitchell then got three consecutive carries, so he was on a stretch of four snaps, four touches, four carries, and I think he had 20 yards already at that point. And then they ran a little fullback play to Kyle Juszczyk to pick up a first down on second and one with Elijah Mitchell in. And then on Mitchell's fifth consecutive snap of the drive, they run the play action to Mitchell. Arizona bit hard on it because anytime he was in the game at that point, he was getting a carry. The Niners run an end around to Deebo Samuel. He gets the 39-yard touchdown. The game is 24-10, and the game's essentially over at that point. Elijah Mitchell's role in the offense, it hasn't changed. He's still the number one running back through 2 weeks, which is a bit of a surprise to Niner fans because of Christian McCaffrey. But the way Kyle Shanahan's using him is he's still picking up chunks of yardage at a time. He averages 7 yards a carry since he's returned, 7 yards a carry against the Cardinals. But he's using him and McCaffrey in almost a role. They have a decent split between the two. 9 carries for Mitchell on Monday night compared to 7 for McCaffrey. He's not going to overuse either one of them. He's just going to try and get what he can out of them and rotate when he feels he needs to. It just happens Mitchell's got majority of the carries the last 2 weeks.
All right, I want to get to the receiving side for a moment. Brandon Ayuk, the last time I had you on the program, Andrew, we talked about how Brandon is starting to find himself. He's becoming an emerging star for the 49ers. He had only 2 catches for 20 yards, but he had 2 touchdowns. Give me your thoughts on Brandon and his play.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because you mentioned 2 for 20. It doesn't feel like a big game for him, and it broke a streak of 4 consecutive 80-yard games for him. He had gone 83, 82, 81, and 84 yards the previous 4 weeks, but he only gets 20 against the Cardinals. How does he make it up? Oh, it's just 2 touchdowns, so 2 receptions, 2 touchdowns, a pretty good percentage there for him in terms of touchdown-to-reception ratio. He's really turned into the Niners' best receiver on this team, and maybe the one that Jimmy Garoppolo is most trusting with, because it feels like Brandon Ayuk gets a lot of physical catches over the middle of the field. His first touchdown was an example of that. Jimmy Garoppolo, he had a quick read to Christian McCaffrey. The Cardinals covered it really quick. He turns, looks to the other side of the field, finds Ayuk in the middle of the field, and fires one in there as Ayuk has to absorb a hit, and Garoppolo has that trust in Ayuk to make the catch. Listen, I know it feels like a lot to say he's the best wide receiver on the team because Deebo Samuel gets a lot of the national attention because of what he does in the Niners offense, but I'm saying receiver as the definition of wide receiver, because what Deebo Samuel's value to this offense is as a running back as well as a receiver, kind of turning him into a what he calls a wide back. I like to call him an offensive weapon. It sounds cooler in my opinion. But Brandon Ayuk is the best receiver. When the Niners seem to need yards, they go to Brandon Ayuk. When they need those tough catches, they go to Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk, he's finally getting to where I thought he was going to be last year after his slow start because of being Kyle Shanahan's doghouse. 2022 is what I believe 2021 was supposed to be for Ayuk. He's on pace. He should get to 1,000 yards at the pace he's going. He has 6 touchdowns, which is near or already a career high for him. It's been a wonderful season for Ayuk, and it's been a great development for the Niners offense that definitely felt like it needed a more consistent player on the outside, and they've gotten it from Brandon Ayuk this season.
You know, you mentioned his name earlier, and as they say, to the victor goes the spoils, and Deebo Samuel signed a big contract extension in the offseason, and you mentioned that they call him a wide back, but you like to refer to him as an offensive weapon, and he definitely showed that in this game against Arizona. He had 3 carries for 37 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown, and he had 7 catches for 57 yards. Give me your thoughts on Deebo and his play.
Yeah, Niners fans have really been waiting for that big game from Deebo Samuel. He hadn't had more than 90 yards from scrimmage since week 6 against the Falcons. He did miss a game with an injury in that span. But he hadn't had a really big game since the Monday night game against the Rams, where he had 6 receptions for 115 yards. He had that big 54-yard reception from Garoppolo, where he made a bunch of Rams players miss. He had the same type of touchdown on Monday night on the end around I mentioned earlier. He went largely untouched. Buda Baker barely got a hand on him as he crossed the goal line. But that not only was it his best game since that Monday night game against the Rams, but it was also the first time we've had that trademark big Deebo Samuel play. You know the play I'm talking about, Ed, where he tends to turn nothing or something into nothing. Or I said that backwards, I apologize. Nothing into something where he makes a few guys miss and then he's free to the end zone. He hadn't had one of those since the big reception against the Rams. He gets his longest rushing touchdown of his career with his 39-yard touchdown run. And he, I mentioned Brandon Ayuk is the best receiver. Deebo Samuel is the most important weapon on this offense. He does a little bit of everything. He essentially turned into their second receiver while also now being their third running back because of Elijah Mitchell and Christian McCaffrey. And his best ability, he might not be the best receiver technically speaking. He's not the best route runner. He's got some drops. He is so good with the ball in his hands. He is such a good runner in space that all it takes is the Niners getting the ball to him, and it's automatically a chance for a big play with Deebo Samuel. And we saw it happen. The Niners set it up with three consecutive runs with Elijah Mitchell, and Deebo Samuel is the beneficiary with his explosive running in space, getting the big touchdown and putting the game away for the Niners. We'll see how much usage Deebo Samuel gets in this new offense with all the weapons. The trends have shown the past couple weeks he's still going to get his touches, which is definitely a good thing for this 49ers offense going into December.
You know what? Deebo Samuel is an impact player, and he definitely turned nothing into something on that play, and he definitely was something in this victory against the Cardinals, and somebody who's been definitely turning nothing into something and then some, tight end George Kittle. We talk about Travis Kelce being probably the best, one of the best tight ends in the NFL, but you got to put George Kittle in that class as well. Four catches, 84 yards, and two touchdowns. Give me your thoughts on George and his play in the game.
If you're not super close to 49ers Twitter, you wouldn't understand this weird trend that happens to go on with George Kittle. Earlier in the season, he started his season off with 4 2-5 catches his first three games. People started to get a little loud on Twitter about his usage in the Niners offense. He then has 8 receptions for 83 yards against the Falcons and 98 yards against the Chiefs with a touchdown, finally feeling like he's getting to be a part of the offense. But then against the Rams and Chargers, he combines for 4 catches in those two games with a touchdown, and people started talking a little bit like, hey, why did he only get two targets against the Chargers last week? Kittle follows up with 84 yards on 4 receptions and 2 touchdowns. And in a stat that I didn't believe until I saw it myself, it was only the second time in George Kittle's career where he finished a game with more than one touchdown reception. So the only time he's ever had more than one touchdown reception before Monday, he had 2 against the Seahawks last season. So this is a rare game. He doesn't have multi-touchdown games too frequently. It was a concern after the Chargers game because, as I said, it's kind of the common trend of what weapons are the Niners going to use in a game. And it seemed that Kittle would be the one who would fall to the back more often than not, especially with Christian McCaffrey. It's so impressive that Kyle Shanahan, I know this is a question about Kittle, I'm more making it about Shanahan now, so I apologize about that. It's so impressive that the fourth option on this offense the Niners can go to is George Kittle, just the second best tight end in the NFL behind Travis Kelce. So it's good to see him have this big breakout game. We'll see if that continues, as I said, with all these weapons. It would be a good sign because he is definitely, when he gets the touches he needs, he is definitely one of the best, if not the best weapon on this offense. So we'll see what consistently it looks like. It was so good to see him, though, especially that second touchdown where you could really tell how much the Cardinals had given up the game. George Kittle was running towards the end zone looking for contact, and he found them, and that's the kind of runner he is. It was a very, very good game to see from Kittle. Both of his touchdowns were what you expect. Passes where he makes a few men miss, and then he runs for a touchdown. Good to see from Kittle. Let's see if it continues, because the Niners can definitely use him in the passing game.
Yeah, I hope it continues as well. And speaking of continuing, the 49ers, we talked earlier about the running game and Elijah Mitchell. And, you know, the San Francisco 49ers were the winners, were the clear-cut winner in this year's trade deadline, acquiring Christian McCaffrey from the Carolina Panthers. And so far, so good. He has been automatic. He has fit so well like a hand in a glove. Christian had 7 catches for 39 yards in this game against the Cardinals, and he also had 7 catches for 67 yards. Give me your thoughts on Christian and his play against Arizona.
His receiving is going to be so important for the 49ers because Jimmy Garoppolo loves his checkdowns. And being able to check down to just one of the most explosive players in the NFL, Christian McCaffrey, is going to be such a benefit for this offense. And we've seen it, right? Obviously, the Rams game a couple weeks ago, he has the 3 touchdowns, the 1 passing, 1 rushing, 1 receiving. Obviously, not going to expect that every weekend. But what we're seeing from him is his usage in this offense. Shanahan uses him all over the place. And we mentioned Deebo Samuel being the offensive weapon for the Niners. We could officially say with the addition of Christian McCaffrey that offensive weapon is now a position in the Niners' playbook because he's used the same way as Deebo Samuel. He'll split out wide. He'll play in the slot. He'll come out of the backfield. 7 receptions, 7 carries. You don't see that too often from running backs. I know it's more common in today's game, but Christian McCaffrey, when he can stay healthy, he is one of the best, if not the best playmakers in the running back position and in the NFL in terms of offensive players as well. It's been fun to see him in this offense. And even before he got traded, the thought was, hey, it'd be fun to see what Christian McCaffrey looks like in a Kyle Shanahan offense. Now we're seeing what it looks like, and it's about what everybody expected. His usage in this offense is going to continue to go up the more comfortable he gets in this system, and he won't have to be relied on as a running back as much either because of Elijah Mitchell and how he's playing. This trade is going to end up being one of the best trades in Niners history if it continues at this rate because of his usage and how he is, and I'm excited to see what Kyle Shanahan can continue to do with McCaffrey in this offense.
Yeah, that playbook really opened up when he joined the Niners, and definitely, as they say, the best is yet to come. And definitely, we're going to, like you said, we're going to wait and see as the usage continues to increase for Christian in the offense. I want to get to the defense just for a moment. Fred Warner, also Kevin Givens, and of course, Nick Bosa made big contributions getting sacks in this game. Give me your thoughts on their performance against Arizona.
Shocker, the Niners defensive line performs well against the team. It's just the trend at this rate. Kevin Givens, he's a piece that not a lot of people talk about. He's a very good defensive tackle for the 49ers. He doesn't get a lot of national attention, but he's been a consistent piece for this line all season, and as long as he's been with the Niners. Nick Bosa's going to get his. He's the most talented pass rusher on this defense. We saw it, how quick he gets to the backfield. Cole McCoy tried to do one of the Tyler Murray's things where he spins back out of the pocket, and Nick Bosa's just so quick, he's there waiting. The Niners' defensive line, they're going to get a boost this week as well with Samson Ebukam returning. The Niners' defensive line continues to show why it's one of the deepest and best position groups on this team. Fred Warner's pass rushing ability, though, that's something that's been developing. DeMeco Ryans has been using him as a blitzer more than ever, more on a feel. I don't know if the stats will back that up, but from the feel of it, Fred Warner's been blitzing a lot, and more often than not, when he's blitzing, if he's not getting sacks, he's at bare minimum creating pressure. I can think of a play that happened last week against the Chargers where he got in the backfield really quick on Justin Herbert. Didn't sack him, but forced a bad throw. He was able to get to Colt McCoy this time. The Niners' pass rush is very good. It's been good for a few years. But the big difference between now and what Robert Saleh's defensive line looked like is DeMeco Ryans isn't afraid to send a little heat. He'll send a 5th or 6th pass rusher when he wants. And Fred Warner's ended up being one of their better pass rushers from that linebacker position. The Niners creating pressure all night on Colt McCoy was why the Cardinals offense couldn't get in the flow all night. Colt McCoy wasn't comfortable. He had a hard time seeing what this line was trying to give him. And Fred Warner coming out of the linebacking core to blitz him as well didn't help anything whatsoever for the Cardinals offense.
All right. And then I want to talk now about Jimmy Ward and Samuel Womack, both getting interceptions. Just give me your thoughts on their performance against Arizona.
Yeah, Jimmy Ward's interception, it was a throw a little bit behind a receiver from Colt McCoy that landed in Jimmy Ward's arms. And he's playing a little out of position because of the injury to Emmanuel Mosley. The Niners have had to adjust their secondary a bit. And Jimmy Ward, instead of playing safety, has actually been playing slot cornerback, a position that when he was drafted by Jim Harbaugh, it was a It was a spot that he was expected to play a little more, but he developed more into a safety and one of the best in the league. The Niners are trying him in a different position. So for him to get that interception, he had some struggles here and there early in the spot position when he started a couple games ago. But it really feels like he's getting back to what he was supposed to be at the slot. The interception was a solidification of that. He hasn't been allowing a lot past him. He's been about what they've expected in coverage in the slot, even though he's playing out of position. Samuel Womack, that must have been a very good feeling interception for him. He was the Niners' slot corner coming out of camp this season. He started week one. And it wasn't that he lost the position per se because he wasn't really struggling. It's just the Amador Lenore was out playing him in practice, and the Niners felt more comfortable with Lenore. So Samuel Womack kind of took a step back, and he got benched behind Lenore. And so for him to get, I know, albeit a garbage time interception, it's an important interception because it's the first of his career. And it's something that the Niners are going to need because with the injury to Jason Verrett, he being out for the season once again, the Niners are going to have to rely on that secondary depth, and Samuel Womack's going to be one of those first names that comes up. He also was very impressive, and he's been impressive in special teams as well. He had that play where he prevented a Mitch Wisnowski punt from being a touchback. He knocked it to the 4-yard line, flipping the field. So Samuel Womack, he was supposed to be a big name as a rookie this season. And he hasn't been as big as we thought because Lenore taking the spot from him, but he is certainly making a name for himself within the 49ers hands.
All right. And the last time I had you on the program, Andrew, we talked about a gentleman by the name of Talanoa Hufanga, who's really been an all-world player for the Niners defense this year. He had 5 tackles in his game against Arizona. Just give me your thoughts on Talanoa and his play.
Yeah, he is really, I'll be the first to admit, he has proved me wrong. His rookie season, I thought he would be better off as an in-the-box type safety. I didn't really trust him in coverage. He had a few games where he struggled. This year with the Niners moving on from Jaquaski Tart, Talanoa Hufanga takes the safety position over. And not only has he been very good, if not elite, inside the box, but in coverage as well. He has 4 interceptions. He's the first 49ers defensive player to have 4 interceptions this season in the Shanahan era. I think it's the first since the Harbaugh era to have 4 interceptions. He's been very solid, not just in the box, but in the run game as well. Those 5 tackles, he's just such a physical player. He seems to always be in on the play, no matter where it ends up on the field. 29 is getting involved in it one way or another. It seems each week he's getting better and better with the more time he's played, which shouldn't be a shock, right? The best way to develop a player is to get him playing time. But this step has been so quick for him. I'm amazed by his play this season in coverage as well. To see him perform like he has really been a key part to why this secondary has been so good. A position group that struggled in recent years for the 49ers. To have a player like Talanoa Hufanga back there now, it really shores the Niners secondary up as one of the top units in the league. But it's also why the Niners defense is the best, if not the best defenses in the league, is they have the elite pass rush, they have the elite linebackers, and now their secondary finally feels like they're catching up. And a large part of that has been because of Talanoa Hufanga's play.
All right, and of course, we've got to talk about the quarterback. I mean, the NFL is a quarterback's league. Jimmy Garoppolo, he completed 20 out of 29 passes for 228 yards, and he had 4 touchdown passes. I mean, he had a solid Jimmy G performance. Just give me your thoughts on his play against the Cards.
Jimmy Garoppolo has been so good the past couple of weeks. It's been a very fun turnaround to see from him. Not that he's been bad in the past, but this almost feels like the Jimmy Garoppolo Niner fans got excited about from 2017. He's playing with a ton of confidence. He's not afraid to really air them out. He's been throwing deeper more frequently lately. He's been so confident. And the big part of why the Niners' offense has been so good and a large part of why the Niners are on the 3-game winning streak is Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't been turning the ball over. It's not that he's doing anything differently. It's just he's not making bad throws anymore. This was Monday marked the first time Jimmy Garoppolo has gone 3 consecutive games in his career with the 49ers without an interception. He had never done that. In his last three games, he has 6 touchdowns. In his last 5, he has 10 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. And people always talk about how good that 5-game stretch was in 2017 when the Niners first acquired him. He's outplaying that right now. So this is really the Jimmy Garoppolo we feel like, as Niner fans, we were promised almost. But the ACL injury kind of complicated things. It never felt like he was back to the fully confident Garoppolo he's been. Now he's back to that. And now, Ed, I don't want to start the conversation because I don't know if it's one that needs to be had right now. But there's definitely a case to be made about the Niners maybe thinking about bringing him back next year as well because of this play. It's been such a step up from what we've seen previously. The 4 touchdowns was the first time he's thrown for 4 touchdowns in the game since 2019, which was the famous Saints game where George Kittle had the big play at the very end of the game to put the Niners in field goal range and put it away. The Niners will go as far as Jimmy Garoppolo will take them. If these last 3 games are a little bit of a flash of what we could be expected to see for the rest of the season in the playoffs, this Niners team can go far because Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't have to throw for a ton of yards. As long as he doesn't turn the ball over, the Niners will win. The Niners are 6-0 this season when Garoppolo doesn't throw an interception, and he hasn't done it of late. Obviously, the streak will end at some point, but Niner fans should be very excited for what they've seen from Jimmy Garoppolo, especially in the circumstances of what he was to Niner fans entering this season. It's been really amazing to see this resurgence from Garoppolo.
I want to say what you said about Jimmy G and the possibility of the Niners maybe bringing him back next year. From what you've heard, Andrew, what has the fan base said about bringing Jimmy G back as opposed to what's currently going on with the rehab of Trey Lance? Is the fan base leaning more towards Jimmy G wanting to come back another year, or they're like, well, it's still wait and see with him, and we want Trey to come back as early as possible?
I think the consensus I have is for the rest of the season, regardless of where Trey Lance ends up in his rehab, this is Jimmy Garoppolo's season to close out. I don't think the Niners are going to risk mixing up what's been working because there are a lot of question marks around what Trey Lance has been and is. You know, there hasn't been nearly enough playing time from him to really know what he is yet. And the Niners are right now playing for a Super Bowl. Now isn't the time to switch it up and find out what Trey Lance is. In terms of after this season and beyond, I think Niner fans are still expecting it to be Trey Lance. I think fans are excited to see what Trey Lance can offer. Nothing against Jimmy Garoppolo, but the Niners did, you know, they moved 3 draft picks in order to move up to get Trey Lance. So Jimmy Garoppolo should close this season out. He is going to be the one to close the season out, barring injury, knock on wood, for 49er fans. And then from there, it'll be Trey Lance's team in 2023 and beyond.
Yeah, I think, like you said before, the jury, I think the 49ers may reconsider bringing him back for next year. I mean, this team is poised, man, for the next 3 to 5 years, especially with them acquiring Christian McCaffrey, man. Definitely sky is the limit for the San Francisco 49ers. And that took care of the NFL International Series in Mexico City with the 49ers beating the Cardinals 38-10. All right, let's move along now to the 49ers' next game against the New Orleans Saints. I remember it like it was yesterday. I'm not dating myself, but the 49ers and the Saints were in the NFC West back in the day, and these two had some great games, of course, with the Montana-Clark era, later Montana-Rice, John Taylor, Brent Jones going up against those Saints teams with Bobby Hebert, the Dawn Patrol, Dalton Hilliard, just to name a few. But this is a new regime now for these two teams. I want to start off with the 49ers defense for a moment. They are clicking on all cylinders right now. And the New Orleans Saints offense that tried the Jameis Winston thing, it just went to kind of like hell in a handbasket with head coach Dennis Allen benching him, which left a lot of their fan base in shambles. Andy Dalton is the starting quarterback. He's been off and on. We know Andy's a veteran. Alvin Kamara hasn't really had that season that people expected him to have, but he's still talented. And, of course, Chris Olave is a candidate for this year's Rookie of the Year. So, Andrew, what do you think are going to be the keys to victory for the 49ers defense to shut down the New Orleans Saints offense?
I really just think if the Niners defense plays their game, the Saints offense shouldn't be much of a concern. You mentioned Olave and Kamara, yes, very individual weapons that the Niners should be concerned about. I just have a hard time seeing Andy Dalton being able to beat this Niners defense, especially with the run D'Amico Ryans has been on recently. D'Amico Ryans has been so good at adjusting this defense to what opposing teams do. They've given up some points early the past few weeks, but D'Amico Ryans' adjustments have gotten the Niners defense to a point where they have not allowed a second half point in three consecutive games. The Rams, Chargers, and Cardinals did not score a single point in the second half against the Niners defense. So, yeah, it could be one of those situations where Andy Dalton screen passes with Kamara in the first half. Kamara gets a few good games. Chris Olave gets a few good games. And you say, oh, well, the Saints offense seems to be moving the ball. Let's see what happens as the game gets older to see what the Niners defense does in terms of those weapons, because it really feels like if you can contain Olave and you can keep Kamara in check, then who on this Saints offense is going to be able to beat you? And Andy Dalton isn't at that quarterback anymore where he's going to beat you. He's going to need to rely on his weapons. I just don't see this being too much of a struggle for a Niners defense that really is clicking on all cylinders of late.
I want to stay with the Saints offense for a moment. We talked about Olave and Kamara, Taysom Hill for a moment. Taysom Hill has been the Swiss Army knife for the New Orleans Saints for an extended period of time. What do you think is going to be the game? Do you think Taysom is going to have some impact in this game and going to give the 49ers defense some fits?
What I am most curious about is because there has been one trend of the Niners struggling against mobile quarterbacks recently. So I don't know if maybe that means Taysom Hill will see more snaps on Sunday, maybe trying to use him as a wildcat quarterback running back thing. I don't know in terms of that. Taysom Hill has been a weapon. You definitely have to account for him. I just, the Niners defense is so physical and it's so good. I don't know how Taysom Hill is really going to impact the game outside of maybe being a mobile quarterback as a gadget running back. I think that'll be the biggest way you can see him affect this game. I don't think he'll be used as a tight end too frequently, but maybe in the run game, he could have a big one, especially if they use him uniquely enough to make the Niners defense think he's passing and maybe get a scramble here and there, because the Niners have struggled against the mobile quarterbacks. But I don't think Allen is going to be the type of coach that's going to stray too far away from Andy Dalton, as he seems very committed with Dalton. And Sean Payton was definitely the guy who would try the more unique things with Taysom Hill. So we'll see what Taysom Hill can do. I could see him being used as a wildcat quarterback here and there against the Niners. But outside of that, I don't think he'll have too big of an impact.
All right, let's switch over to the other side of the ball. The 49ers offense going up against the Saints defense. The Saints defense has been decimated for much of the year. A lot of injuries to some of their stars, such as Marshawn Lattimore. Also, Marcus Davenport has had some injuries. Kind of like one of the few bright spots for the Saints defense, of course, has been Pro Bowler Cam Jordan. What do you think are going to be the keys to victory for the 49ers offense to get points in the Saints defense?
Yeah, Cam Jordan can definitely be a concern. He'll probably line up against Mike McGlinchey. The Niners offensive line should be getting a ton of credit for the success Jimmy Garoppolo's had as well. They allowed 5 sacks against the Chiefs in that loss about a month ago. They've allowed 5 sacks in 3 games since, and Garoppolo hasn't turned the ball over. So if the Niners offensive line can keep Garoppolo clean, especially against guys like DeMario Davis and Cam Jordan, and Garoppolo has a chance to really dissect the Saints. As I said, he hasn't committed a turnover in 3 games, so that's a good sign. The Saints defense hasn't forced a turnover in 3 games, and as a matter of fact, they have the second fewest turnovers in the NFL, and they have the lowest turnover percentage in the league, where only 5% of their defensive drives end in turnovers. So it's Jimmy Garoppolo behind an offensive line that's really been clicking lately. As long as the Niners offense doesn't turn over the ball and shorten their own drives and give the Saints offense extra drives, this Niners offense should do pretty well against the defense that, yeah, unfortunately is injured, but the Niners offensive weapons are going to be too much for the Saints defense if they don't turn it over.
All right, and that sets the stage for Week 12 between the San Francisco 49ers and the New Orleans Saints at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California. Well, Andrew, as always, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody what's going on, not just over at the Sprint Right Option podcast, but also over at Niners Nation.
Yeah, so you can definitely find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Pasquini Andrew, P-A-S-Q-U-I-N-I. I have a podcast I do twice a week with my co-host Jason Aponte. It's the Sprint Right Option podcast. We actually hosted our most recent podcast from Tuesday on the 49ers app, so that was very cool to be able to be a part of that. But I also write for NinerNation.com. I have about 3 or 4 articles that come out each week. I just recently had an article, Players to Watch, on the 49ers offense against the Saints. I'll have the same type of article coming out tomorrow, ideally, about the Niners defense, 5 Players to Watch as well. So you can check me out on the Sprint Right Option podcast or at NinersNation.com.
Awesome. And tell everybody where they can find you on social media, as well as Sprint Right Option podcast, Niners Nation, and any websites, let them know that as well.
Yeah, so my Twitter is Pasquini Andrew, P-A-S-Q-U-I-N-I. You can follow me there as long as Twitter exists. We'll see how long that lasts. That's a big question mark now. The Sprint Right Option podcast, if you go to Jason Aponte's YouTube channel, you can find our live streams there. But if you don't watch the live streams or you can't, you can download the podcast anywhere you get your podcast. Just search Sprint Right Option podcast, wherever you get your podcast, and then NinersNation.com. It's one of the SB Nation family websites, and you can find me there as well.
All right, you heard it from him. He is Andrew Pasquini, co-host of the Sprint Right Option podcast with Jason Aponte, and also he's a writer for Niners Nation, which is a blog that's powered by SB Nation. Andrew, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program, and happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. And if ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
Thank you very much. I'd appreciate it.
You're welcome, my man. We'll be back with more right after this.
3rd down and 5. Garoppolo pulls it down. End zone. What a throw and catch. Touchdown, IU. Third down and 3. Garoppolo will float it. He's got Kittle. And Kittle is gone for the touchdown. Been so good for so long. In his 18th year from Penn State. Samuel gets it. Trent Williams out in front of him. Ayuk blocking. Debo. End zone touchdown. What a play. No flag. Another one for San Francisco. Blitz off the edge. Ayuk has got his second. Touchdown 49ers. On both sides of the ball, that stands out. Here's Kittle. George Kittle. Touchdown 49ers.
It's an old-fashioned Griswold family Christmas at Raising Cane's.
There it is.
Celebrate with chicken fingers and cane sauce, crispy crinkle-cut fries, and garlicky buttered Texas toast. Hap, hap, happy Christmas from Raising Cane's and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. One love.
Not a millionaire, darling. To retire at St. James Place, you don't have to be. Take a look at St. James Place. It just might be more affordable than you think. Learn more at stjamesplaceinfo.org. So, darling, you're not a millionaire. If you want to retire at St. James Place in Baton Rouge, well, you don't have to be to live the active, enriching, and fun retirement you've planned and saved for. So forget what you've heard and take a look at St. James Place. It just might be more affordable than you think. Learn more and schedule a visit at stjamesplaceinfo.org. That's stjamesplaceinfo.org.
Meet Extended Stay America Select Suites, a new place like home with spacious apartment-style suites and full kitchens. With Extended Stay America Select Suites, you get real simple value. The longer you stay, the more you save. Learn more at ESA.com.
Everyone deserves to feel connected. That's why Cox has high-speed internet to fit any budget. For real. Learn more at cox.com/ACP.
Non-transferable, one per household. Application and eligibility decisions are made by the FCC. Other restrictions apply.
It's an old-fashioned Griswold family Christmas at Raising Cane's.
There it is.
Celebrate an enduring tradition with kith and kin and hand-battered cooked-to-order chicken fingers and cane sauce. And introducing...
Drumroll, please.
Plush puppies that benefit local pet organizations and the gift cards that keep on giving the whole year. Hap, hap, happy Christmas from Raising Cane's and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. One love. If this tastes half as good as it looks, you're in for a real treat.
This is Shaquille O'Neal with a friendly holiday reminder. Tis never the season to scream at your printer, call it naughty names, or chunk empty ink cartridges across the room. But tis always the season for an Epson EcoTank printer. They're cartridge-free, conniption-free, with big ink tanks and a ridiculous amount of ink. So grab some mistletoe, mwah, and kiss expensive cartridges goodbye. The Epson EcoTank, just fill and chill. Available at Amazon and Best Buy.
This holiday season, switch to Boost Mobile and get a single line unlimited plan for $25 a month and...
a partridge in a pear tree?
Coverage on America's largest 5G networks.
How about Seven Swans of Swimming?
No, but if you're not satisfied within the first 30 days, Boost gives you your money back.
Turtle doves, French hens?
The lowest truly unlimited plan on the market. One line for $25 a month when you switch.
I'll take it.
Boost Mobile. Unleash your power. Limited time offer. New customers only. One line for $25 per month with auto pay. Device must be returned in like new condition. Monthly service refunded via e-gift card. Additional restrictions apply. See your local Boost Mobile store for details.
It's an old-fashioned Griswold family Christmas at Raising Cane's.
There it is.
Celebrate with chicken fingers and cane sauce. And introducing plush puppies that benefit local pet organizations. Hap, hap, happy Christmas from Raising Cane's and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. One love.
So, darling, you're not a millionaire. If you want to retire at St. James Place in Baton Rouge, well, you don't have to be to live the active, enriching, and fun retirement you've planned and saved for. So forget what you've heard and take a look at St. James Place. It just might be more affordable than you think. Learn more and schedule a visit at stjamesplaceinfo.org. That's stjamesplaceinfo.org.
This winter, make the year's shortest days the most enjoyable in a Cadillac. Pursue your boldest ambitions in a Cadillac SUV. Or lead the way with the dynamic performance of a Cadillac sedan. So seize the season with a resolution to be iconic. Because when the days are at their shortest, it's on us to make them the fullest. Visit your local Cadillac dealer today.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, a big special thank you to Andrew Pasquini, co-host of the Sprint Right Option podcast. The podcast is dedicated to highlighting San Francisco 49ers content, and he is also a writer for the website Niners Nation. The website is ran by SB Nation as it provides 49ers news. Thanks again to Andrew for coming on the program. All right, let's do this, everybody. Now it's time for important games for Week 12 in the National Football League. Let's start off with the Cincinnati Bengals squaring off against the Tennessee Titans. First, for the Bengals, big win over the Pittsburgh Steelers last week. Joe Burrow doing what Joe Burrow does best, throwing for over 350 yards. How about the play of Samaje Perine running the ball and also getting three touchdown catches in this game? T. Higgins stepping up big in the absence of Ja'Marr Chase, doing what he did best in that game, going for near 150 receiving yards in the contest. So Cincinnati handled their business, beating Pittsburgh, their division rival in the AFC North last week. As for the Tennessee Titans, big win over the Green Bay Packers last week. For the Titans, Derrick Henry doing what Derrick Henry does best, running for over 100 yards. Ryan Tannehill playing nicely since coming back from the injury. Of course, Treylon Burks, the rookie wide receiver, playing very well, played well against the Packers. Robert Woods played well in the game against the Packers. Austin Hooper had two touchdowns in this contest. So Cincinnati and Tennessee, they're going to be playing the game in Nashville. It's going to be a hard-hitting game, a game that's all about two tough quarterbacks with Joe Burrow and Ryan Tannehill, a powerful running back in Derrick Henry. And, of course, you know, Cincinnati and Tennessee, their defenses are very tough, no-nonsense. It's going to be a good one in Music City, USA, in Nashville as the Cincinnati Bengals square off against the Tennessee Titans. Next game is going to be the Chicago Bears versus the New York Jets. First for the Jets, during the week, Zach Wilson, not living up to his full potential, refusing to take accountability for his mistakes, benched by head coach Robert Saleh. Out goes Wilson, in comes Mike White. When you're dealing with Mike White, he's a quarterback, high risk, high reward. Mike White is definitely somebody that's going to throw the ball more than 20 times a game. He's not afraid to get down and dirty and make the mistakes. And this is going to be, in my opinion, a shot in the arm for the Jets offense, because they're going to need this. And when you have a receiver like a Garrett Wilson and company, you need a quarterback that's going to not only have accountability, but somebody that's not going to be afraid to throw the ball 30, 40, 50 times a game. So the Jets are at home at the Meadowlands at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, and they're going to go up against the Chicago Bears. Justin Fields separated his shoulder in last week's game against the Atlanta Falcons. Again, we don't know, I mean, the status of Fields right now, that he suffered a separated shoulder. It's questionable that he's going to be playing in this game, but the Bears, the season's basically over with for them. They're just playing to get some draft picks and hopefully move into the right direction going forward with Justin Fields. You know, this is a team, their identity for so many decades has been defense and running game. And it appears that the tide is turning for Chicago in terms of their offensive prowess with putting it into the hands of Justin Fields and possibly Justin becoming their future franchise, the future of the franchise being their quarterback. But Bears and the Jets, all the drama that's happened in New York during the week with the whole Zach Wilson benching, in comes Mike White. So Chicago and the New York Jets, definitely going to be a game to keep an eye on. My next most important game for week 12 is the Atlanta Falcons versus the Washington Commanders. First for the Falcons, big win over the Chicago Bears. Marcus Mariota doing his thing, both running the ball and throwing the ball as well. Cordarrelle Patterson, again, Cordarrelle is one of the most complete and dynamic players in the league, getting it done, running the ball and catching the ball as well. Injury to Kyle Pitts, that's a tough one for the Falcons, but Atlanta solid on the defensive side, led by Grady Jarrett. So while the Falcons celebrated their victory over Chicago, how about the Washington Commanders? Two wins in a row, the week before on Monday night beating the Philadelphia Eagles, and then in week 11 beating the Houston Texans. Taylor Heinicke is going to be the starting quarterback going forward. Ron Rivera confirmed it. Carson Wentz will be the backup. Antonio Gibson running the ball well. Brian Robinson Jr. has filled in nicely for the injured J.D. McKissick, who's on injured reserve. Terry McLaurin playing nice. Logan Thomas making his contributions as well. Jonathan Allen and Montez Sweat on the defensive side playing well. Also, Deron Payne has been playing well as well. And also, Chase Young. The return for Chase Young is definitely on the horizon. They thought he would be ready for this game against the Falcons. That's not the case, but the return is coming. To all you Washington fans out there, that Chase Young, whenever he comes back, defensively they're going to be so sharp. But Atlanta and Washington, going to be a great game at FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. My next most important game for week 12 is going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Cleveland Browns. First for Cleveland, they lost the game in Detroit last week to the Buffalo Bills. Started off strong. Jacoby Brissett started off very nicely, but he kind of fizzled out. Well, not fizzled out, but it was a kind of like a too little, too late type of situation. He did throw for three touchdown passes and had over 300 yards. Amari Cooper was effective, played a nice game, but if Cleveland's running game would have been better against Buffalo, Cleveland would have had a solid chance of winning the game. So while Cleveland trying to bounce back from this game, they have a guy by the name of Tom Brady, a.k.a. TB12, coming to town. And Brady, he's been feeling it as of late. I know handling his personal issues are sort of behind him now. And the Buccaneers, coming off of a well-deserved bye week, they beat the Seattle Seahawks 2 weeks ago in the international game in Munich. And Brady's ready to go. Now, they won't have Leonard Fournette. He won't play in this game due to a hip injury. Giovanni Bernard will play in this game, but the Bucs are better. The Bucs are improving, and with the Bucs beating the Seahawks in that international game in Munich 2 weeks ago, the bye week was definitely needed, and Tampa is riding on a high right now. Cleveland just looking for answers, but Deshaun Watson is practicing. We'll see him real soon, so again, but right now Tampa Bay's riding a high, and they look to continue that streak going into Cleveland. The next game that we have is going to be the Las Vegas Raiders versus the Seattle Seahawks. First for Las Vegas, a big win last week beating the Denver Broncos in overtime. Derek Carr to Devontae Adams. You know, we've been waiting for that game where Derek and Devontae would get on one accord and have a come-from-behind victory. And this might be the game where it could kind of turn the tide a little bit for the Raiders. And the Raiders are enjoying that high right now, and they take that to the Pacific Northwest to take on the Seattle Seahawks. For the Seahawks, 2 weeks ago, they lost in the International Series to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Munich, but you still cannot discredit what Pete Carroll has done with this team this year. Geno Smith has been effective this year. Kenneth Walker at the running back position is definitely going to be a candidate for League Rookie of the Year. Of course, Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf have been effective. So Las Vegas and Seattle, the Raiders are riding a high right now. Seattle, bye week to kind of lick their wounds from the loss in Munich. And Raiders and Seahawks, this should be a nice game up in the Pacific Northwest. Next game is going to be the Los Angeles Rams versus the Kansas City Chiefs. First for the Rams, Matthew Stafford. We don't know what his status is going to be coming into this game against Kansas City, but they're going to need him because the Rams lost a close one to the New Orleans Saints last week in New Orleans. As for the Chiefs, what can you say about the Chiefs? Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, they just continue to add to their many accomplishments. Come from behind victory, scoring a last-minute touchdown drive to beat their AFC West rival, the Los Angeles Chargers, on Sunday Night Football. And again, the Chiefs being the Chiefs, Mahomes leading the way, Kelce being a part of that train ride is going to be nice. And the Rams and the Chiefs, this is a do-or-die game for the Rams. They need this to stay alive in that NFC playoff picture. As for the Chiefs, they're on a roll right now. What can you say about Kansas City? They're just doing what they do best. Kansas City just on a winning streak right now. Currently, as this show is airing, they've currently won 3 games in a row. And I don't see it letting up anytime soon, but the Rams are going to come in hungry. They're going to do their best. Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, those guys got a lot of pride, but it's going to be a good one out at Arrowhead between the Rams and the Chiefs. Sunday Night Football, the Green Bay Packers versus the Philadelphia Eagles. For the Eagles, come from behind victory over the Indianapolis Colts last week. And what can you say about Jalen Hurts, MVP candidate, scoring the rushing touchdown to put him ahead to give them the victory? And also, let's talk about Philly's defense being solid when it needs to be, being solid when it counts the most. You also got, you know, Fletcher Cox. You've also got C.J. Gardner-Johnson. You can't forget about the recent acquisition of Ndamukong Suh and Linval Joseph. That's paying off big dividends. Brandon Graham, Hassan Reddick, Darius Big Play Slay. The Philly's just on point right now. I know 2 weeks ago they lost on Monday night to Washington, but that Colts win, that victory over the Colts, was a bounce back for them, and they needed that in more ways than one. And they're going to be on Sunday night. They're going to be on a worldwide audience going up against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Titans. And time is running out for Rodgers and the Packers, man. They really need to make a statement as far as the NFC North is concerned. Minnesota is on point right now. Detroit, so-so. Chicago not making the playoffs. So Green Bay's got a slight chance, but they got to get it done in one of the toughest places to play in the NFL, really in all the sports, and Philadelphia, man. And, you know, it's going to be a good one in the city of brotherly love on Sunday night with the Packers and the Eagles. Monday Night Football, the Pittsburgh Steelers going up against the Indianapolis Colts. First for the Steelers, losing a tough one to the Cincinnati Bengals. Kenny Pickett played a decent game. I mean, doing what Kenny Pickett does best. And Najee Harris had a couple of rushing touchdowns in this contest. George Pickens doing his thing on the receiving side. Of course, Pat Freiermuth doing his thing on the receiving side as well. So Pittsburgh, tough loss to the Cincinnati Bengals last week. T.J. Watt's going to be ready for this Monday night showdown against the Indianapolis Colts. And with the Colts, they lost a tough one last week to the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, the week before that, they beat the Las Vegas Raiders. Jeff Saturday wound up getting his first career win as an interim NFL head coach. And the spotlight is going to be bright for him on Monday night with the Colts taking on the Steelers. This is a chance to show all of the naysayers and all of the haters that, you know, he is capable of getting his job done. And I know in the back of his mind, Coach Saturday is like, you know what, this is Monday night. I want to try to prove to all the naysayers and prove all the haters wrong that I can get this done. I'm qualified to be a future NFL head coach, maybe become the permanent head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Matt Ryan is back at the starting position. Jonathan Taylor is healthy. And we'll see what happens with Coach Saturday and his crew on Monday night with his Colts taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And those are my most important games for Week 12 in the National Football League. It's now time for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be the Green Bay Packers versus the Philadelphia Eagles. For Philly, Jalen Hurts is an MVP candidate. A lot of people said that Jalen Hurts didn't have the skills to become an NFL quarterback. Undersized, not a strong arm. But one thing Jalen does, well, actually several things that Jalen does have is that he has an accurate arm. He has athletic ability. And with him being a coach's kid, he's got the discipline. He's got the work ethic. And his teammates love him. And most importantly, the city of Philadelphia loves his blue-collar, hardworking demeanor. And Jalen is definitely deserving of this opportunity and definitely deserves to be mentioned as among candidates for this year's MVP. But it's not just Jalen. It's the whole supporting cast with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. Also, you have on the defensive side with C.J. Gardner-Johnson, the recent signings of Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh. Can't forget about Hassan Reddick, also Fletcher Cox. And, of course, you can't forget about Bendarius Big Play Slay. So while the Eagles are back on the up and up, the Green Bay Packers have just been so far down much of this season. We know about the offseason things that have happened with Aaron Rodgers, and we're not going to go into all of that. You know what's the 411 with that. But Aaron Rodgers, time is running out for the Packers. Minnesota, as I mentioned earlier, they're at the top of the NFC North Division. Detroit, so-so. Chicago, not making the playoffs. So the Packers, this could be the game. This could really be their last chance to make a statement, because if they don't get this done, the rest of their schedule is tough. The rest of their schedule is tough. And if there's a game that could possibly save their season, this would be the Sunday night matchup against the Philadelphia Eagles. Aaron Rodgers, back-to-back reigning league MVP. Listen, we know what type of stock he's made of. We know that he's built for this. Unfortunately, financial standpoint, for the next 3 to 4 years, the Packers are tied to him. So unfortunately, I don't know what's going to happen in terms of them trying to go get big free agents and wide receivers, but that's neither here nor there. That's the future. We need to focus on right now. And right now, the Packers need to get it done. And this could be the game that could save their season in Philadelphia. It's going to be a great one. The Green Bay Packers versus the Philadelphia Eagles, my game of the week. All right, before we get on out of here, I want to give you my winners, my picks on who I think will win Week 12's most important games. the Cincinnati Bengals versus the Tennessee Titans. I like Cincinnati to win. The Chicago Bears versus the New York Jets. I like the New York Jets to win. The Atlanta Falcons versus the Washington Commanders. I like Washington to take that one. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Cleveland Browns. I like Tampa Bay to win. The Las Vegas Raiders versus the Seattle Seahawks. I like Seattle to win. The Los Angeles Rams versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City will win that one. Sunday Night Football, the Green Bay Packers versus the Philadelphia Eagles. I like Philadelphia to win that one. And on Monday night, the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Indianapolis Colts. I like Indianapolis to win. So my winners for Week 12 are Cincinnati, New York Jets, Washington, Tampa Bay, Seattle, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, and Indianapolis. There you have it, folks. That's another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. Once again, I'd like to send a big special thank you to Andrew Pasquini, co-host of the Sprint Right Option podcast. The podcast is dedicated to highlighting San Francisco 49ers content. He is also a writer for the website Niners Nation. The website is ran by SB Nation as it provides 49ers news. Once again, a big special thank you to Andrew. Until next time, everybody, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and you've been listening to the League Wraparound.
This winter, make the year's shortest days the most enjoyable in a Cadillac. Pursue your boldest ambitions in a Cadillac SUV, or lead the way with the dynamic performance of a Cadillac sedan. So seize the season with a resolution to be iconic. Because when the days are at their shortest, it's on us to make them the fullest. Visit your local Cadillac dealer today.
Businesses need to think beyond today. That's why ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help your business find more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
Getting a job at McDonald's means getting a job combo that fits you, like flexible scheduling with a side of working close to home, or feeling appreciated with a side of hours that work for you. So what's your job combo? Apply today at careers.mcdonalds.com.
Get benefits like bonus pay, flexible scheduling, and employee emergency relief fund and more. Apply today at careers.mcdonalds.com or text APPLY to 38000. Jobs you apply for may be in a restaurant owned by a franchisee, not McDonald's. Franchisees are responsible for all employment at their restaurants.
This winter, make the year's shortest days the most enjoyable in a Cadillac. Pursue your boldest ambitions in a Cadillac SUV, or lead the way with the dynamic performance of a Cadillac sedan. So seize the season with a resolution to be iconic. Because when the days are at their shortest, it's on us to make them the fullest. Visit your local Cadillac dealer today.
This holiday season, switch to Boost Mobile and get a single line unlimited plan for $25 a month and...
a partridge in a pear tree?
Coverage on America's largest 5G networks.
How about seven swans of swimming?
No, but if you're not satisfied within the first 30 days, Boost gives you your money back.
Turtle doves, French hens?
The lowest truly unlimited plan on the market. One line for $25 a month when you switch.
I'll take it.
Boost Mobile. Unleash your power. Limited time offer. New customers only. One line for $25 per month with auto pay. Device must be returned in like new condition. Monthly service refunded via e-gift card. Additional restrictions apply. See your local Boost Mobile store for details.
This winter, make the year's shortest days the most enjoyable in a Cadillac. Pursue your boldest ambitions in a Cadillac SUV, or lead the way with the dynamic performance of a Cadillac sedan. So seize the season with a resolution to be iconic. Because when the days are at their shortest, it's on us to make them the fullest. Visit your local Cadillac dealer today.
This holiday season, switch to Boost Mobile and get a single line unlimited plan for $25 a month and...
a partridge in a pear tree?
Coverage on America's largest 5G networks.
How about seven swans of swimming?
No, but if you're not satisfied within the first 30 days, Boost gives you your money back.
Turtle doves, French hens?
The lowest truly unlimited plan on the market. One line for $25 a month when you switch.
I'll take it.
Boost Mobile. Unleash your power. Limited time offer. New customers only. One line for $25 per month with auto pay. Device must be returned in like-new condition. Monthly service refunded via e-gift card. Additional restrictions apply. See your local Boost Mobile store for details.